Welcome, Pinto and Sean Bean patrons. Welcome to Extra Beans.
Whoa, hang on.
Cool.
Who am I podcasting with? What? Sorry, who are you? Is that Henry VIII and Anne of Cleves I see across the Zoom call?
Ha-ha! This is our episode about the Tudors.
No, it's not Henry's. Sorry, not Henry. I mean, well, Henry VIII.
It was our episode about King Royal...
Oh, hang on. That's not a real face. That's a rubber face.
Oh, disguises.
This is more stuff from our episode about disguises.
Yes, please.
Henry, going forward in this episode, your mic is a little bit poppy. I think what you need to do is you need to put it at a diagonal to you.
More like that.
So it's not like you're not talking right down it. It's no, that's not. Do what
look
I'm
at
doing.
Ben trying to not be annoyed.
Well, I think he gave you extremely clear instruction, and then you did nothing and asked him if that's what you meant.
Like that.
No.
Okay, Ben, can I say something? Okay. I'm going to tell you my truth right now. So my truth is, in this kind of situation where someone tries to tell me something twice and I don't understand it both times, I then go into an information panic state where I now cannot, you cannot communicate this to me now. My brain is not open to communication. My brain's gone into a kind of self-protecting kind of logical kind of like shell where I won't be able to understand anything you say. I'm just sharing that with you. But keep trying.
Okay. What if we switch languages? Will that somehow kind of reset?
That could short-circuit it. There is a way. Oui, c'est possible qu'on peut short-circuiter le brain problem. Oui. And I'm back. Thanks. So what do I need to do? How's my sound, by the way?
Sounds good.
My new microphone. Have we all got the same microphone now?
No, we've all got different microphones.
Why is that? Horses for courses? God, Mike's got quite... Mike, you've got... Your microphone just looks like it's a microphone where you're doing stand-up at a pub gig.
Well, it is that microphone, yeah.
You've got the really old-school metal head, the old metal head.
Yeah, it's a classic microphone.
Is it what you think
of as a microphone?
Is it crenellated? You know, like, those mics, they've normally been dropped a few times. They've got, like, bash marks.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. From some actual mic drops that people have done.
Some actual mic. And, like, a wonky... Sort of wonky cable that falls out, and so it looks like you've got all that.
Yeah, very much
so. So, Ben, have you been deliberately like curating our microphones to make sure you've got the best one?
Well, I have got the best one.
Yeah, because me and Mike don't make a little move, motherfucker, without your approval when it comes to any technical purchase. Isn't that true, Mike?
I think it's.
That makes sense to cars and fridges. Everything gets run past Ben. Any tech purchase. But I assumed you were getting us all the same mic, but you've actually been playing some sort of sick little game, have you?
No, because I tailored the mic choice to your individual lifestyles.
Okay, thank you.
You know, Mike needs a different kind of... You can't have the same mic.
Okay. See, it's bespoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike Wozniak needs that mic on stage in Labo M Origins every evening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas your microphone, Henry, that I've selected for you, is very much based on the fact that it's the same one that Joe Rogan uses.
That's right. It's the Roganator 6000, isn't it? And it comes with 6 kegs of beer. Is that the right kind of thing?
I don't know. I don't know if Joe Rogan's much of a beer guy. He's more of a kind of...
Extreme views.
He's into weed, isn't he, I think?
Weed, yeah, so this one comes with a bong, isn't it? It actually is a bong. That's where all the craziness comes from, probably. Yeah. Wacky. Because we're all high, aren't we?
So you just need to sort of spit a conspiracy theory through it, and it'll sound beautiful.
Yeah. Sparrows. Winged microphones. I talked to a genuine professor of sparrows. They don't want you to believe it, but it's true. Winged microphones. God, it's hard keeping that up, isn't it? Vocally, being Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't do the musical stings himself.
He's that big now, isn't he? One good thing about having a beard or a moustache in life, I've always thought is, and Mike's got this, which is you've got a quick, easy disguise option, which is remove it.
Oh, it's an anti-disguise. Yes. Yeah, yeah. It works a dream. There are people that have only known me with a moustache. And there's a handful of times in the last maybe 15 years I've shaved it off. They've not recognised me at all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you wouldn't. If you see Mike's photos of Mike without the moustache, it's not...
It's the perfect disguise, basically. But that's just, I mean, we've gone into the face shape and all that kind of thing in the past. I think that's partly because the moustache suggests I've got a different shaped face to what I do have. And there's just some face that it simply isn't there, you know.
I have often thought about if I was on the run. In the first 24 hours, you've got to change your appearance, right? That's 101 on the run business, right?
Yeah.
So I'm shaving my head, I think.
Okay. So rather than going the old hair dye peroxide blonde thing.
But then you stand out, don't you? Because I would just look so gorgeous. Who's that surfer?
Who's that incredibly fit surfer? Hang on a minute. You know that spate of murders that's been happening around the Cardiff Bay area? The Cardiff Bay bastard? I think we found the Cardiff Bay bastard. But he's so good looking. Let's just go on a date with him and then arrest him later, shall we? Okay, yeah. Oh, damn, we had a really good date and forgot to arrest him. Oh, and he got us to pay for all the chips.
This is an email from Luke. Hello, Beans.
Hello, Luke.
I've been listening to another podcast. It's a bad start. In which one of the presenters claims to be a friend of Henry Packer. Mm-hmm. Who's this?
Okay, so look, me and Joe Rogan, it was 8 years ago. I was doing a lecture circuit talking about my theory that eagles are in fact a type of microwave.
You were trying to cook a lasagna for one with an eagle, weren't you?
I was trying to cook a lasagna for one for an eagle. And me and Rogan got talking. What can I say? No.
One of the presenters claims to be a friend of Henry Packer. Mm-hmm. However much this claim startled me, their next claim was even bigger. Mm-hmm. They said that Henry only had cold showers 4 to 5 times a week. No showers of the traditional warm variety. Is this claim true? Does Henry do this for health benefits or is it to save money? I look forward to hearing Henry's retort. Best wishes, Luke.
By benefiting your health, you are saving money, is the first thing I said. And you're saving the NHS money. No, that isn't remotely true. What podcast was it?
They don't say.
I think closer to the truth is... Mm. I once tried having a cold shower after football as a way of rejuvenating my muscles. Mm-hmm. And also because people say it's good for you, don't they? And I think it's more likely that I think I had a hot shower within which I gave myself 4 or 5 blasts of cold. Mm-hmm. I think that's what actually happened.
And that shower lasted a week.
That shower lasted a week. Yeah, I've never had 4 or 5 cold showers a week, but I have tried having the cold shower thing where, but what I do is I do reverse boiling a frog. So I'm in the shower.
Mm-hmm. So you're served first.
First I'm served and splayed. Vinaigretted.
Yeah.
Garlic.
Yeah.
Bruleed. No, what I do is I start with a nice hot shower and then gradually turn it cold to the point where it's really quite cold but you know, like cooking a frog but the other way around. Good. You don't really notice it, and then it comes to the point where it's really cold and you're going and you turn it hot again and it's nice. I've done that once in my life,
and that's become a sort of myth-making thing where you do it. You only have cold showers.
Mm. Yeah, no, absolutely
4 or 5
not.
Times a week.
Not only do I not do that, I wouldn't do that. That's not the kind of thing I would even do.
There you go, Luke.
It's not me. But I know that there are benefits in cold showers. So either of you ever done cold showers or cold swimming?
Nah.
Well, I've had cold swims because it's cold in the sea, but I don't do it because it's cold.
Yeah.
I would like it to be warmer in those situations.
Apparently it's got good benefits and stuff, hasn't it? Mental health benefits, physical health benefits.
But I'm already at peak mental and physical health.
That's true. If you got any more, if you got any
push
better.
Push it too far, go off the other side.
Yeah. You go around the back again and become zero.
Yeah. Sorry, Luke. Go back. Perhaps you can tell us who this is that's slandering Henry Packer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or kind of burnishing Henry Packer.
I don't know, because the 4 or 5 days in the week, it seems like a... I think the nation wants to know that Henry's showering more frequently than that.
That's true, actually. That's a low shower number, isn't it, for a week?
Yeah.
I do shower. I shower every day. I just have a different definition of shower from some people. I dry shower.
Rolling in a thin grit.
I roll myself in a, in a thin grit. I then open, it doesn't have to be Yop, but any milk drink over my head. That then sort of coagulates with the grit. That forms a, I think the word is exfoliating dairy coating. Mm-hmm. And then the neighbourhoods, what I like to say is everyone's welcome, cats, rats and dogs. Mm-hmm. lick me clean. They're rough tongues. Remove a lot of hair, a lot of skin, a lot of abscesses, and also a lot of the bacteria that gather through the day. Yeah.
And you simply chase them out of your flat with a broom and get on with your day.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Sorry, I know we're doing the extra episode, but we're going to have to bring it to a close because... magical birds have pecked out thine eyes.
I thought you were going to say, because we're going to give it a fairy tale ending.
Oh, well, yeah. Anyway, this is extra stuff about fairy tales.
Creepy.
Prancing along the crispy, crackly, crispy floor of the dry, dry forests. The black, black trees in the mountains.
The beady-eyed hedgehog.
Don't tell the beady-eyed hedgehog your secrets. Whatever you do, he wants to know your secrets.
Can I share with you the plot of a film I found? So on the Wikipedia page about the Brothers Grimm, it talks about the various film adaptations that have happened. And in 2015, what should happen? What was released? But Avengers Grimm.
Really? No.
Snow White and Prince Charming's Kingdom is under attack by Rumpelstiltskin's brainwashed army.
Oh, God. Wow.
After killing the prince, Rumpel confronts Snow in the throne room. He wants to access the magic mirror, which can act as a portal to the land without magic, where he can reign unchallenged.
Is that where we are? Is that what I mean? Is that us? Are we the land without magic?
Well, let's see. A fight ensues, resulting in them falling through the mirror's portal and into the other world.
Into small town Texas.
They arrive in Los Angeles.
Oh, no. They're going to be total fishes out of water here, mate, aren't they? No, but hang on, this can't work, this film, because they won't understand things like how transport works and what jaywalking is.
Look, there's a man walking along with a ghetto blaster on his shoulder. What the blazes is happening? He's... That kid's on a plank with four wheels on it. He's going along railings.
And how are we going to explain what a smoothie is to them?
It's a lady in trousers.
I tell you what, I can spin straw in a gold, but I still can't afford one of these gym passes for a week.
There'll be a lot of that stuff going on.
What's a Pokeball? I don't know why he's from New York. He would be, what is going on here?
Oh, no. I tell you what, I'd rather have my eyes poked out by a huge lizard with the face of an owl and pay the prices they want for these things they call smoothies. Oh, no.
Actually, quite a good film, potentially.
It would be quite good.
If I had to use valet parking for my hansom cab, can't I just leave it in the side of the road like everybody else? I don't have cash for a tip, I'm sorry. Who did the Pied Piper?
Oh, that's a good one. Good.
That's pretty much as sinister as it gets, isn't it?
It really is. The rats.
Is it just Anon? Is it just one of those ones that's well known enough?
Yeah, I think it's just a legend. I think it's one of these, yeah. The earliest mention is on a stained glass window in the Church of Hamelin in 1300.
Oh, blimey.
Again, what do these people want with the children? That's the... I'm just reading that the Pied Piper of Hamelin is a story based on a real event that took place in 1284 when a piper led away 130 children from a town with a rat infestation.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay, that's pretty dark.
The people of the town of Hamelin were plagued by an infestation of rats. To soothe their ills, the people hired a Pied Piper who promised that he could use music to spirit away the rats and they would be free from the plague.
Pied.
Pied.
What does that mean again? Look.
I think it means two-coloured, doesn't it? Like,
yeah,
a magpie.
Like a magpie, yeah.
But that's a classic, just weird fairy tale detail. Like, why is he pied?
He's pied. Of course he's pied.
That's so weird. So carry on. They hide the Pied Piper.
And spirit away the rats, he does. The townspeople are jubilant. But at the end of their celebrations, they refuse to pay the Pied Piper. Why should they? They say, you've already got rid of our rats for us. Ha, you fool, you foolish, naive piper, you. Be on your way, sir. Enraged, the piper stalked about the town, returned that night and played upon his pipe, and used his musical magic to lure away the town's children. You bastard. Away they went from the town, through the woods into the mountains.
You absolute bastard, except for Little Ulf. I'm not going to miss Little Ulf, but generally that was horrible. But you absolute bastard. Ulf was difficult. We can agree with that. Yeah.
And the Pied Piper will find out that soon enough. And there's every chance that he'll probably send him back.
He'll probably Pied Piper just one
he
back.
He took them deep into the rock, and the rock closed about the children, and the only person who was left was little Sasha, who some say was hobbling on a stick and so couldn't keep up. But others think that he knew that Ulf was in there and thought, if Ulf's going in that mountain, I'm not going in that mountain, because Ulf is a bolt-on pain in the ass. And the children were never seen again. But the Pied Piper went on to run a very, very successful pest control business throughout Central Europe.
Are you struggling with one of your children finding him a bit irritating?
Do you also have a rat infestation?
Do you have a plague of rats and or children?
Mike, that was beautifully read. I really enjoyed that.
It was nice, yeah.
Lovely, lovely bit of storytelling.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed that. It's lovely, isn't it, being told a story?
It is nice.
Ben, I think you need to read us one.
Okay. Are you ready for the story of Rapunzel?
Okay, just please.
A lonely couple who long for a child live next to a large, extensive, high-walled subsistence garden.
So it's not a botanical garden, that's clear.
Why is it? As soon as you tell us the fairy tale, it's just got this kind of weirdly, like... the whole tone of your storytelling, Ben, is completely different from Mike's. It's quite interesting.
The subsistence garden belongs to a sorceress.
Okay.
The wife, experiencing pregnancy cravings, longs for the Rapunzel that she sees growing in the garden. Brackets, Rapunzel is either the root vegetable Campanula rapunculus or the salad green Valeriana locusta.
Great, okay. Great work. Because, I mean, you're just anticipating the questions and batting them down straight away. Yeah. Beautiful brackets work.
I don't remember this part of Rapunzel where it's all based on someone craving a certain kind of vegetable.
No. No, I never being in open brackets, that's the type of salad leaf closed brackets popping up in that or any other fairy tale.
Mike's story really turned me into a child again and took me to a sort of dark, magical fantasy world.
Yeah.
Whereas,
yeah.
Ben, yours has got a real sort of health and safety sort of vibe to it. Well. So it's a subsistence garden.
Ben's is a real... We are going to the garden centre and you are coming.
Okay, so the pregnant woman refuses to eat anything else and begins to waste away.
Mm.
Her husband fears for her life, and one night he breaks into the garden to get some for her. When he returns, she makes a salad out of it. It's much more salad-related than I remember. And makes magical croutons. Right. When he returns, she makes a salad out of it and eats it. But she longs for more, so her husband returns to the garden to retrieve some more. As he scales the wall to return home, the sorceress catches him and accuses him of theft, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
He begs for mercy, and she agrees to be lenient, allowing him to take all the Rapunzel he wants on the condition that the baby be given to her when it is born.
Oh, there again, we go again.
Really hard, bloody
hell.
Harsh deal. Yeah.
Desperate, he agrees.
Yeah.
I don't think he should have agreed to that.
He should at least discussed it. He should have at least said, do you mind if I just go home and... So I have a life partner. We're very much a team. We're trying the big decisions. We try and do together.
We live next door. It's not far.
Yeah, we're probably literally 5 minutes. And you are a sorceress.
And yes, at the moment she's driven wild by a lust for salad. But I think even in that situation, she might think that giving the baby away is too much.
It's like getting a mobile phone deal. You shop around, you see what's out there, don't you? There might be another sorceress, you know, offering more favourable terms. Maybe get a bundle.
So when the wife has a baby girl, the sorceress takes her to raise as her own and names her Rapunzel after the plant that her mother craved.
So it's a proper thumb in the eye, isn't it?
Yeah. She grows up to be a beautiful child with long golden hair. Mm. When she turns 12, the sorceress locks her up in a tower in the middle of the woods with neither stairs nor a door and only one room and only one window.
Plumbed?
En suite, let's hope.
It's plumbed. Yeah, it's plumbed.
Okay, little kitchenette.
Again, another nice Airbnb thing, isn't it? Lovely little writing getaway.
Lovely,
isn't it?
Just a single room. Lovely. Just open plan.
Quirky. No door.
No one's disturbing you.
Just breathe as well. Just get away from it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
In order to visit her, the sorceress stands at the bottom of the tower and calls out, "Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair, that I may climb thy golden stair."
Oh, nice.
One day, a prince rides through the forest and hears Rapunzel singing from the tower. Oh, entranced by her ethereal voice.
Okay.
He searches for her and discovers the tower, but is unable to enter.
There's another trope of yours, isn't it, Henry? The old lads getting a bit intoxicated by someone with a good set of pipes.
That's true. Yes, that's a good fairy tale trope, isn't it? Yeah, a good myth trope.
He returns often, listening to her beautiful singing, and one day sees the sorceress visit her as usual and learns how to gain access. So it's a bit like if you're in a pret and you want a shit, but you don't want to buy a coffee. You look at someone else's receipt to find the code.
Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your toilet code.
Although a lot of the time the toilets are actually, you can just walk into them, I find.
And they're also often soaking wet.
It's not clear why.
When the sorceress leaves, he bids Rapunzel to let her hair down. When she does so, he climbs up and they fall in love. He eventually asks her to marry him and she agrees.
It's good that they hit it off, isn't it?
Yeah, it feels like she's potentially in just another high-pressure situation. That does. I mean, what are you going to do? Do you know what I mean? You're hanging out in your Airbnb, some lad climbs up your head, pops in your room, is like, all right, I love you.
Yeah.
Who are you? Yeah. It's quite intense.
What the hell are you doing?
Yeah. But also probably the first man she's ever met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might agree to marry them just to buy some time, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's no dating. There's no. It's just big life. It's big life decisions only, isn't it? In these things. You're getting married. You're not getting married.
Yeah. You're giving away a baby.
Yeah.
Together, they plan a means of escape, wherein he will come each night, thus avoiding the sorceress who visits her by day, and bring Rapunzel a piece of silk that she will gradually weave into a ladder. This is where it gets a bit weird. Before the plan can come to fruition, however, she has sexual intercourse with him.
Okay.
What? Ben, this isn't. All right, children, go home. This story club is over. The Three Bean Story Club is officially over. Go home. Take your jump. Take your. You can still keep your free jambalaya sauce bottles, but go home. Ben, you've got to check the story before you start breaking the story. Is that in the thing?
Well, yeah.
Blimey. Okay, I don't remember that. I don't think that's in there.
Yeah, that didn't make it to the Ladybird edition.
Then later she innocently says that her dress is growing tight around her waist, hinting at pregnancy or just a passion for cheese.
We all know the feeling, especially at this time of year.
So because of the pregnancy, in anger, the sorceress finds out she's pregnant and cuts off her hair and casts her out into the wilderness to fend for herself.
Cuts her hair off from the bottom or from the top?
You can't cut it off from the... Well, you didn't... Or take an inch off.
But then if you...
in a fury, gave her a... Took care of her split ends.
Just reshaped it nicely. It looks so much better. No, but like... Because if she's going to cut it off at the top, that means the sorceress would then be trapped in the tower with her at the top.
Well.
Okay.
When the prince calls that night, the sorceress lets down the severed hair to haul him up. To his horror, he finds himself meeting her instead of Rapunzel, who is nowhere to be found.
Uh-oh. You know what this is like? You've got the code. You go in the pret toilet. There's someone sitting in there. Oh, no. It's a sorceress having a dump.
And they have the command of dark magic.
Yeah.
So, to his horror, he finds himself meeting her instead of Rapunzel, who is nowhere to be found. After the sorceress tells him what she has done, in a rage that he will never see Rapunzel again, he leaps or falls from the tower, landing in a thorn bush Although it breaks his fall and saves his life, it scratches out his eyes and blinds him.
No! Oh, God. Oh, I thought we got away with it. I thought we'd actually got away with it.
That's a ending. Haunting image, isn't it? As he finally tumbles onto the grass.
Mine eyes!
Just in the background, there's two eyeballs sticking out on little thorns.
So what happened to Rapunzel? Sorry, was she okay?
Well, this is the last bit.
Okay.
For years, he wanders through the wastelands of the country and eventually comes to the wilderness where Rapunzel now lives, with the twins whom she has given birth to, a boy and a girl. One day as she sings, he hears her voice again, and they are reunited. When they fall into each other's arms, her tears fall into his eyes and immediately restore his sight.
Before they're both blinded by a massive chicken. The end.
With thorn bushes for feet.
Sleep well.
He leads her and their twins to his kingdom where they live happily ever after.
Where the fuck have you been? Question number one, isn't it? Prince on his way back.
I don't really remember it being that way as a child.
But it always happens when you go back to them, because we've always read them in sanitized and different versions. Whenever you go back and read, if you ever read like an original or closer to the original version, there's always whole elements that you don't know about, you've forgotten, or that you've never read.
And there's also, getting blinded. The two people, the main protagonists at the beginning of the show, have been completely forgotten, right? That couple, they're just out of it now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's just happily munching on a salad.
I got a feeling that sorceress wasn't my real mum. I might be interested in working out who my real parents are. If you're up for it.
Nah.
No, not bothered.
No, they're gone.
There's that tedious salad woman who lives next door. It might be her. I hope not. She's obsessed.
She's obsessed with salad and she gets all weepy every time I see her.
They're good, aren't they? They are good stories.
They're really good. They've got this weird thing. They're really compelling.
It's because they're from our deep shared culture that goes back to 5,000 years.
They're a step up from a fable, aren't they? Come on.
Fox and the Goose have to get some potatoes out of a well.
Give monkeys, mate. Off.
Yeah.
Scorpion wants to cross a stream. Why? Why? Yeah. Doesn't need to. Yeah. Doesn't need to lift off a frog. Doesn't need to bother.
He's a creature of instinct. It's fine.
It's complete irrelevance.
Well, there we go. I think that's... fairy tales. I mean, there's many more we haven't mentioned. It's a huge topic.
It's a great topic. Stories from the Forest of Bean.
Yeah.
The Forest of Bean.
Don't stray from the path.
I think it's because of things like Netflix and stuff, hasn't it? That it's all changed storytelling. It's all like, it's got to be like 58 parts now. It's got to have like a cop who's on the bottle and stuff. And all these different subplots and stuff. Whereas really, in essence, this is what we really just need to hear is this stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've got youngish children, Mike. Did you read them these stories?
Yeah, we definitely did absolutely. Yeah. But there's so many different versions of them. That's the thing. So I think we've got several different versions of a bunch of different, like Grimm's fairy tales, here. And there will be versions where someone's tried to clean something up. Or maybe they've lent into it and had a bit of fun with some of the dark stuff. It varies hugely.
But is it ever bedtime and you're sitting there and you're cutched up, reading the book? And then you're thinking, oh, this is lovely. You know, the kids are loving the story. This is great. Yeah. And then you turn the page and it goes, and then the crows pecked the eyes and they were blind. Yeah. And you're like, oh.
There's an illustration of a mulberry bush with an eyeball poking out. That's what they want. These people are monsters. That's what they want.
Oh, no, this is the version where Snow White is forced to marry 1,000 crabs.
Damn. It's the crab bride version.
It's
Why?
The crab bride version. This is the one where Cinderella swallows a blackbird and the blackbird pecks her eyes out from the inside. The conversation we've just had gives the lie to the phrase...
Puts paid to the
people going, oh yeah, it's just the whole thing's been a real fairy tale. Me and all my children have been blinded. My wife has been turned into a chair.
At my fairy tale wedding.
Yeah, exactly. My fairy tale wedding.
You don't want a fairy tale wedding. I think we'd really like to go for the fairy tale package. No, you don't. I know we do offer it. We probably shouldn't, but I really can't advise you strongly enough. Please do not choose the fairy tale package.
Honestly, just no. I've said I want a fairy tale wedding and I've wanted one since I was a.
All right, but have you, I mean, I notice you work in personnel. Have you ever had to deal with a goblin in the past wielding dark magic?
Yeah.
Okay. Because they are tricky.
The photographer we get is good, but he is a sorcerer at the same time. So they are good shots, but we can't guarantee we won't do any sorcering.
Okay, fine. Well, look, it's your funeral. Bring in the clockwork goose.
So yes, I had the train had gone. There were no taxis. I had no way to get out of London. I was totally screwed.
Ben was a little lost child in the city.
I was,
essentially, and I took him under my wing.
I was saying to you, wasn't I? I was saying, just take me to the Lord. He will take pity on me and let me sleep in his stable.
Yeah. The Lord of London. And I found you. By the way, is this our Christmas episode?
People are now deep in the kind of turkey sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really deep sort of humming farts.
Yeah. Yes, there'll be a kind of fart encrustment now around the skirting boards. There'll be that when it'll have started to sort of calcify and turn into sort of fart crystals, weren't they?
Yeah, a sort of low-lying swamp gas.
Yeah, rich and creamy. Yeah, the sort of the cognac raisin farts that. But really hang. They really hang in the air. You can almost fold them up and put them in the airing cupboard.
Yeah, hang them up for next year.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to, isn't it?
Okay, but people will be in the Christmas leftovers phase, won't they? Yeah, eating the Christmas leftovers. I've got a comment I want to make about leftovers.
Okay. Are you going to put it out for your publicist, or are you happy to say it here?
Does it need to be greenlit by number 10 first? Or you just...
I'm going to be holding a joint press conference with the head of the Metropolitan Police, Sir Gordon Ramsay. And
just a layman.
A layman and a bunch of wonks. Wait for that to hit you. Your inboxes. Really, it was to do with the food you get in cafes and supermarkets and stuff in the build-up to Christmas. So really, I've left it too late for this year, so I could let it hang till next year.
Is it going
to
burn away at your soul, though?
I think you can tell us now, Henry.
Okay, yeah. It's a minor bugbear, but in its own quiet way, I think it's going to set off a little earthquake that'll set off a sequence of little mini culinary earthquakes and tsunamis that could change the face of Christmas catering. I hope it will.
Yeah, so just a minor thing.
Certainly the build-up to Christmas, which is... I'm not a fan, I don't know if you guys are, of... So, by the way, for the listener, just cast your mind back for about 2 weeks ago, because that's when this is relevant. But I'm not a fan of when sandwiches and stuff in your Tesco's, your Pret a Manger's, etc., start having Christmassy-themed sandwiches.
I had one yesterday. I had a pigs in blankets sandwich from Boots.
Did you? How did that go?
That is exactly what I'm talking about.
I thought it was going to be nice.
Yeah.
But because... They wanted to, I don't know, for some reason, they had a sort of balsamic glaze and some kind of weird, very acrid chutney all over it. It was disgusting.
Play it with a straight bat, I think, if you're doing that.
Yeah.
I've started to find those sandwiches just, they gross me out. Even just looking at them grosses me out because it's always, basically, they've got the essence of Christmas. They've interpreted it as heavy, meaty. So even like a camembert sandwich or something, it'll have a kind of Christmassy version, which basically involves putting like sausage mince into it. Yeah.
The bottom third of that tub of goose fat that you won't find a use for elsewhere.
Exactly. Some goose fat and your kind of raisins and your like Cointreau soaked, nutmeg.
Cranberry nutmeg.
Yeah. Oil.
Pig face.
Cranberry nutmeg. But what I mean is, A, it's just really horribly over-rich. But also, what you're doing, what the shops are essentially selling you is the leftovers of Christmas, but before Christmas. Do you see what I mean?
A sugar-coated pickled onion in a BAP.
Exactly.
The food waste bin sub. But they get it wrong, you're right. Like, what Ben described there, like the pigs in blanket sandwich, I mean, that sounds absolutely delicious, right? At the right time.
Well, that's why I bought it. It sounds brilliant.
Superb. Done at home, it's going to be brilliant. But you muck about with it, it's gross.
You rolled up one copy of the Radio Times you buy every year, covered in gravy and stuck in a baguette. Anyway, it's a little point.
So what should they do? Because they're going to want to do something special.
I'll tell you what they should do.
Yeah.
And it's part of my idea. And if you go to the press conference, you'll find out. Jambalaya time. Ayo, jumbo, 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 jambalaya. Ayo, jumbo time. Jumbo, jumbo, jambalaya. You jambalaya everything.
In a flowery granary bap.
Flowery granary bap. But you go, I think you go tropical, you go Hawaiian, you go jambalaya.
Okay.
It's the food of the bayou.
It's the food of the bayou. You go pineapples. You just, do you know what I mean? big roast pineapples. You just go sort of opposite of like wintry fare, I reckon. Yeah, on Christmas Day, it switches and it all feels more special.
Okay. I'm on board with this.
That, I think as well. Yeah,
thank you.
Jambalaya time.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Jambalaya for me is just a sort of fun word. I didn't really know what it is, what it means.
Yeah,
it's a kind of rice dish.
Oh yeah,
I think of it as a sort of tropical risotto. Really,
it's a tropical risotto. That's perfect. Tropical risotto up until Christmas.
Yeah. I'm so pleased we ironed that out before the press conference, because I mean, yeah,
yes, I know.
The Telegraph would have they'd have torn you to shreds, wouldn't they?
They'd have torn me to shreds, and I mean, Gordon Ramsay wasn't going to take it well.
You've not even Googled jambalaya, you cat!
Sorry.
Little Christmas C-bomb.
Well, I'm on board, Henry.
Yeah, you have the full support of the beans.
I'll be making my Christmas Eve jambalaya this year.
Yeah.
I have a routine that I always have a Magnum on Christmas Eve before going to bed.
Yes, but isn't that because you have it every single day of the year?
Yeah.
I'm not sure you can tag Christmas onto that one, Ben.
See, it's a special... So you have half as many Magnums as usual that night because you're going to have such a rich meal the next day.
But this year, I'm going to have a jambalaya Magnum.
Yeah.
A Magnum warmed and dipped in jambalaya.
Also, because, of course, this is coming out 2 days after Christmas, feel free to make your Christmas jambalaya now for next year.
And keep it boiling the whole time.
Just keep it boiling. It'll actually get more flavoursome over the year.
Yeah.
And it'll have all those lovely flavours which we associate with Christmas now, which is hot chilies,
green bell peppers,
yams,
shrimp and crayfish, and just everything that makes us think of Louisiana.
American long grain rice.
Yeah.
Dr. John.
Is that a musician or a food source?
Dr. John is a New Orleans-based musician. Well, okay. I think he's dead now.
And those weird flat boats with the big propellers on the back that I really want to go at one day.
Yeah, and you can look at an alligator.
Like in Gentle Ben.
Exactly.
This week, Mike, I, as I said, I slept on Henry's floor, and then Henry went out quite early to have a meeting in a cafe on Zoom or something. And I thought, I'll try and find him when I left the flat. Maybe we can have a coffee together. So I thought, I'll just go to the nearest Pret, because that'll be where he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I looked it up on Google Maps. It was a few minutes away. I walked. I mean, Henry lives probably within 4 minutes of a Pret. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I was across the road from it, and there he is, sitting in the window. So I thought, for a bit of a jape, I'll film him, covertly, and then send that to him, and he'll realise he's being watched. You know, a bit of fun.
Nice. Yeah.
Started filming. Started walking towards the Pret and the man in the window, just a bald man, who I was now filming and waving at.
But then, so offensive.
So offensive, and yet, as bald men, we have no real...
recourse.
There's no recourse.
No one cares. No one gives a monkey's. No,
but can exactly. I say, we are bald men. We think of ourselves as being like a giant...
single organism,
giant billion-legged centipede of bald, bald heads all linked up together with lots of little bald leg, little hairless legs. That we one organism, as you say. So we feel that shudder, and you imagine a huge 1,000-mile-long centipede made up of lots of bald heads.
Mm. Yeah,
that shudder goes through it like a wave.
Yeah.
So when that happened to you, the kind of. Blah, blah, because also we don't know where we're going, but the organism is desperately moving about.
You probably that wave get millions of those impulses every day, don't you?
Millions of those, and that creates the judder. Oh, no, something said. Someone was horrible about bald people.
hang on. I wasn't being horrible about bald people. I just mistook another bald. But
thinking that we're all the same with bald. Oh, yeah. It goes through the wave of the millions of heads, and we scrabble along. And in a way, it gives us the energy, Ben, the energy to keep exploring the grey surface of the granite sort of lifeless planet that we live on. To keep wandering around it, that billion-legged, billion-headed, bald... The bald billipede keeps going with the energy that you give us, and one day we'll find a crater and we'll go into it. Yeah. And we'll hide from the glare of the stars.
The gigantic millibonts, or whatever it is.
Henry, I didn't mean to be mean. It was
no,
more
of course
just
you didn't mean to be mean.
He looked a bit like you because he also had similar dress sense. He looked like
a thrusting young media character.
Thank you. That's more like it. Yeah.
You know.
A hairless Hemsworth.
That's what I said under my breath. Yeah.
Yeah.
A hairless Hemsworth. But that is pushing it, yeah. Maybe more like a sort of hairless Damon Hill.
So I look like the kind of guy that's got the kind of thrust about him where I could have got, he could have gone toe-to-toe with Mansell.
Yeah, back in the 90s.
Back in the 90s.
But now, you know, he's resting on his laurels.
Yeah.
He's running a go-kart company in Kent.
Called Hill's Wheels, and he's still not sure if that's actually a pun or what it is.
Okay, that's Extra Beans. Thank you very much again for signing up to our Patreon.
Thank you.
Patreons. Patrons.
Yeah, see you next time.
Thank you so much. Cheerio.
Bye. Bye.